Enjoy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine. Jonathan Homsey is in the studio with us today, and you're here, Jonathan, to talk about your production of Misread.
You pronounced that correctly, and you pronounced my last name correctly, so thank you so much.
Yeah, got all that practice paid off, didn't it?
It's Arabic, so people mess it up sometimes, so I appreciate it.
So, no, you're welcome, Jonathan. Now, Jonathan's here to talk about Misread, which is part of the Festival of Live Arts at the Footscray Community Arts Centre. So, welcome. And before we start talking about that show itself, we just want a little bit of background about yourself. So
you have been on the show before, but you know, for those that weren't listening.
Sure, I'm for the virgin listeners about me. I am a queer artist, probably by syllogism of being on Joy. I'm originally born in Hong Kong. I raised in America, and I moved here 8 years ago.
Oh, my God. You're such a mixed race, aren't you?
I'm originally a street dancer from Los Angeles, so I originally danced in like hip-hop culture, things like You Got Served for people. That's kind of a silly reference, but everyone knows that one. And now I whack now, which is a queer kind of form from the clubs of Los Angeles in the 1970s. And I'm also practice virtual reality.
Let's just go back to that.
Yeah.
I know absolutely nothing about it. Tell us, what's called whacked out?
Sure. So some people are whacking. So it sounds like some people are like, are you whacking alone? Are you whacking in the toilet? Are you whacking with friends? I'm like, no, I can whack with many groups of people in public. It's fine. But that's why it's called WAACKIN apostrophe, because we wanted to get away from whacking off or the way it was spelt.
Fair enough.
I kind of call it in the internet, before the internet, people had ideas separately. Voguing happened in New York and similar aspects. It comes from a lower socioeconomic background as an expression for our bodies. And that's how we did it in Los Angeles and was on Soul Train. So if you watch Soul Train, there's a little bit in Flashdance. Unfortunately, all of the original whackers except one passed away of HIV or was murdered in the 1980s. And a lot of that information was lost. And I've just been really interested in gathering into that information.
How hard was it to find the information?
Now it's a guy named Brian Green actually kind of provocated the last survivor and was like, let's get this form back going. Like, we don't want to lose this form. So in 2003, Brian Green taught a bunch of people in New York. One of them was my mentor, Junko Sasaki, who's actually coming from Tokyo to teach whacking to everyone here at Footscray Community Arts Center.
Wow.
There are two sets of classes. The first one is sexy posing for your body, so if you want to feel empowered. It is Auslan interpreted and wheelchair accessible. It's for all levels, all ages. It's to make you feel sexy.
Is this part of the festival?
It is this part of the festival.
Wow.
And then we also have an advanced level whacking class. So if you're a professional dancer, you want to get challenged, provocated, and get your arms moving very, very fast, you would definitely want to head to those advanced classes.
Right. So continue on with
yes.
who you are.
Yeah, sure.
But, yeah, like now, you've totally got me
fascinated. I'm YouTubing whacking as we speak.
Yeah. So if you want to do a little Google of Junko, it's Junko, J-U-N-K-O, Sasaki, S-A-S-A-K-I. She is the two-time world champion from freestyle session, and we do so in voguing. We have ball culture. I'm not a voguer per se, but there's ball culture, there's houses, and due to kind of popular culture going on right now, a lot of people are familiar with the voguing and kind of the protocols of that. Whacking, we have to do it tournament style, like tennis. So it's actually like
it's
very battle format. It's not a runway, so you actually battle 45 seconds, 45
right.
seconds.
Okay,
so that's kind of how that works. So you'll see stuff online, it's tournament style. So Junko is a 2-time tournament champion, and she runs the battles in Japan. So she's actually kind of bringing that here. It's really funny because I go to the queer events in Japan, and they're actually all ages. They're family friendly. I lost a battle to a 60-year-old woman. She, I am not joking. She pulled out her chopsticks. I'm not archetyping. She shook her hair. I wish you could see my radio, that little L'Oreal jiggle they do in those ads. And she destroyed me. So I would love to have that kind of, it's queer, but it's also really family friendly, accessible, yet to kind of discussing our sexuality. I think, especially in Melbourne, we're really on the pulse of kind of queer arts, but it's a quite esoteric or a very sexualized discussion sometimes. We can't bring, you know, our cute nieces and nephews to that discussion.
Yeah.
We would like to, maybe when they're a bit older, but you know, it would be a lot at once. Be like, here's queer sexuality in one go, and you're 7. I think there's something that Japanese whackers and that culture bring to it, because they make it a bit more funky. It's really done to more funk music. It's not a Donna Summer track, you know, moaning for 10 minutes. Anyways, I'm digressing. More about me. So I got really interested by whacking. And when you come see Miss Red, there's also the whole whacking component. But we also have a mixed reality installation, which is a mixture of augmented reality. So think like Pokemon Go, virtual reality, where you put on the headsets, and mixed reality, which is with 3D stereoscopic projection. So I don't want to give too much away, but basically it's a party that's an art installation. It's an art installation that's a party, and it's all disco themed. So please bring your disco costume and we'll have a good old disco time, whether with goggles on or with you on the dance floor.
Hold on. So all of a sudden I'm seeing an image of you painted in red.
I'm not actually painted red. We're really, really fortunate that Rose Chong Costumes are actually doing our whole look for Miss Red. So if anyone's going to do disco in Melbourne, it's Rose Chong herself. So right. I definitely have a red outfit, which I'm so excited to wear. It's actually a vintage figure skating unitard. but I won't be painted red, but there is somebody painted red there and you'll have to come find out. And it's only for one night, only on March 23rd.
Right.
It's that one night lover you just try to capture again and they just run off into the distance.
So
it's that one night, you got to come that night.
how are you, staging it? But we'll come back and talk about that a little bit later on. This sounds fascinating, people. We're talking about, which is part of the Festival of Live Arts in Footscray Community Centre. We'll be back soon with Jonathan.
Enjoy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine. And we're talking to Jonathan Homsey about his show at the moment at the Footscray Arts Community Arts Centre. So, David, you were asking, well, we're talking in general about the show.
Yeah, so, what's happening? Do you sit in an audience or is it an open space on the night?
I think the whole installation's about queer utopian worlds. I feel like if we really had our queer ways, we'd really go beyond sexuality, beyond gender, beyond race, all these things. So Footscray Community Arts Centre provocated me that why don't you make the art installation a party? Like the actual, if there was a Texan Museum would say Miss Red party. So it is viewed as a party. You sit in it as a party, meets kind of an amusement park. So there is a bar, there is a place where you can dance, there's a DJ, there's almost a nightclub environment, and there's a whole art installation that you view at the same time. So there is an art installation titled Miss Red.
Sometimes it's hard to imagine when you're reading about something like that. It needs to be explained that you are sort of going to a party per se.
Yeah, so Footscray Community Arts Centre have been grateful. I'm actually across 11 different rooms and the entire field, the amphitheater area. So we're really everywhere.
Wow.
You cannot escape queer utopia. It's coming to get you.
Actually, you've mentioned queer utopia a few times. What do you see as queer utopia?
I think for me, there's something about the values of disco. In whacking, we really listen to disco music and it's about embodying disco. And I wonder what would happen if all those people may have not passed away with HIV, touch wood, and other things that happen. What if disco didn't die? What if the values of discos was actually the value of our society? We'd probably party all the time, but I think also in an ethical standpoint, I think we would go beyond kind of the debates that we're having, which we're separating in different groups. I feel queer utopia is one of, I don't want to say bliss because I find that such a daggy word, but a bit blissful. Like we all are just getting along and it's pretty damn great.
I've got a problem with what you said because I disagree with you. Yeah. I don't think disco's ever died. It's in my bedroom every week when I'm getting ready to go out.
I think disco as like the mainstream, I think it's because I was born in 1988 and I just have this fascination with Studio 54 and that kind of the what they were trying to embody in that space. Of course, that's a whole other talk show just about the demise of Studio 54, but they're in that core value of everyone really respecting each other and just having a good time and letting music be that vehicle. That's something I really wanted to bring into this project.
Well, because that sort of style, you know, like how would trends come and go, it's just part of nature though, isn't it? That we 100% can't hold on to it because we move, trends change, don't they?
Yeah, but I think the same with you, like disco never died, but I think it's disco might have died into the main culture, mainstream culture. And I find something like, why on the radio, why can't I listen to the 9-minute Donna Summer remix? Do I have to listen to the radio version? That's a whole other discussion. But there's something about kind of disco utopia. It's just extended. You get to really enrich yourself in the experience. So maybe it's my own young mindset, my perception of
disco. All right. Well, you obviously don't listen to Joy enough because on Friday evenings and Saturday evenings, you hear all those extended mixes.
What time are those shows? You should pause them too.
Go to our grid and check it out, because you do. You know, like A Touch of Pink on a Saturday at 7 o'clock, I think it is. He plays all those amazing remixes of brilliant stuff.
So maybe it's actually getting my younger generation to find that love as well.
Yeah.
I think that's something really interesting about it.
Yeah. All right. So you've got us. Here we are. You know, we're going on to the disco and Utopia, as you said. But tell us a little bit more about the Festival of Live Arts. You know, where did it come from? We've actually spoken to somebody else a few weeks ago who is performing at it as well. And how did you get involved?
So it happens every other year. It's like a consortium model. So for us non-art administrators, I call it like the Justice League. It's not really anyone's particularly responsible, but it's a consortium of venues, which is Footscray Community Arts Center, Arts House, and Theaterworks. And I'm one of, I don't want to misquote, but there's definitely at least 45 artists across the festival. We're all doing different things, from Amplified Elephants at Footscray Community Arts Center to stitching onesies at Arts House to an immersive theater work at Theaterworks where you travel St. Kilda. There's all these different perceptions of what live art is. And in Melbourne, the word immersive experience gets tossed around a lot. And I think the Festival of Live Art is about a festival of purely those immersive experiences that are hard to kind of fathom. And that's kind of what the Festival of Live Art's about. I was in this festival because I did Call to Create, which was an annual mentorship, and I was selected as a mentor, or a mentee rather, and I was wanting to do something for Midsummer, and then all of a sudden they said, you should do FOLA, and I was like, FOLA, what's FOLA? And then here I am, getting into FOLA 3 weeks away, and I'm really, really excited to be in this model.
Right. So you were part of Midsummer. How did that go?
I wasn't in Midsummer this year. I didn't get to be around. I actually was overseas.
Last year that we spoke?
I helped curate the closing ball that was at Testing Grounds, and we did a whacking competition there as well. And I also performed with Megan Beckwith, who does virtual drag, and I danced in a giant bubble. So if you were there, you were like, who's that random guy in a, you know, khaki, you know, monochromatic jumpsuit in a giant bubble? That was me.
All right. So it sounds absolutely amazing. When's it on?
The ball is March 23rd. It's from 7 to 11, and the exhibition openings at the same time.
Right.
And guys, if you're listening, if you want to take, excuse me, I should say people, I should not make such a binary prefix. People, if you guys want to join us at the workshops, it's the 19th and the 21st from 7 to 8:30, and it's absolutely free, but you must book online. We're almost sold out at one of the workshops.
Do you have the online address
there? Yeah, you just head to fola.com.au, and you'll see the little misread avatar with its very sexy exposed collarbone. Click on that collarbone, and we'll lead you right to the workshops.
All right.
Fabulous.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for coming in today, Jonathan, and we'll see you on the dance floor.
Yes, to a 9-minute disco remix. Get ready.
You're here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.